Well, we've been looking at Jesus. Fantastic. We've gotten him all the way from the cradle. Now he has appeared to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos in a glorified state. Face shining like the sun. Eyes of fire. Out of his mouth, sharp two-edged sword. Feet as if they were brass burning in a furnace. So powerful, magnificent, and mighty is his appearance until John falls as a dead man in the very presence of God. From that point of appearance to John, Jesus introduces his view of the church here on the earth. We preached about that for a couple of Sundays. Jesus pointed out the faults of the church. You mean churches have faults? How many believe that everybody in church is perfect? I'm going to put both of my hands down and hold them down. From the preacher to the back door, none are perfect. That's why we're here, so the Lord can work on us. How many of you as Christians have ever failed? Look around. Look, here's your chance. Yes. But we have done what Christ told John the church with failures needs to do. Repent. Call on the Lord for forgiveness and receive that forgiveness from him. Then he pointed out all of the successes and the victories of the church. How many of you have ever had a victory? Wow, not as many victories as there were failures. What's going on here? Come on now, how many have had a victory? You've overcome. Jesus pointed those out. Now, we have closed out the first vision. Now the Apostle John is about to enter into a second vision of the glorified Christ. We're talking about this Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Now we are going to see him in a heavenly light. And this second vision that is given to the Apostle John goes from Revelation chapter 4 clear through chapter 19. The things which shall be hereafter. Here's the text. Read it with me. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in appearance like an emerald. Round the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What a vision. And that's just the beginning. And we're not going to be able to preach all of the beginning here this morning. We're going to have to break it in two pieces here. And so the next Sunday I preach, I'll be coming back and talking about the 24 elders that are there with Christ in the New Jerusalem, in the city of God, where the throne room of God is. So now it is time to see the future events that are coming upon the earth. How many remember that Jesus, after His death and resurrection, was standing with His apostles, speaking with them, and all of a sudden He began to go up in a cloud and disappear? And the disciples stood there looking up, gazing after Him going up into heaven. And then some men in white robes came and stood by the apostles and said, "Why are you standing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which you saw go up into heaven will come in like manner as you've seen Him go." How many believe Jesus is coming back? You really believe that one of these days He's coming back from heaven, and He's going to receive us. And as He does, we're going to get to see what John saw here in his first vision. These are things of the future now. The church age is over. The church age has passed. At the end of chapter 3, the church is over on this earth. Now in chapter 4, we're about to see the church in heaven with Jesus. These are the future things. It is time for the churches to know that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. He is going to end the world and establish the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever in a new heaven and a new earth. How many is looking forward to it? Amen. Remember the brief outline of the revelation given by John. In Revelation 1:19, he said, "Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." The things that you have seen, that is the vision of the glorified Christ. The things which are, that is the churches upon the earth, their state and condition, and the Lord's personal message to each one of them. And the things which shall be hereafter, the future events that are to happen at the end of the world and throughout all of eternity. I'm here to tell you, saints, I've read the book. I've read the things that have been predicted in the book, and we are living in the day. We are living in the day, any moment, any day, any week now. Jesus can return to this earth and take the church out of the world. And then we will begin to see this third or this second vision of John, the things which were hereafter. The present passage, this vision of John begins the future events. The things which shall be hereafter are now being revealed. Amen? Note how much God reveals to us. 19 chapters after this introduction, from chapter 4 of Revelation clear through 19 to chapter 22, Christ now invites us through John into the heavenly domain. How many want to go to heaven? Well, we get a little glimpse on the inside right here of what it's going to be like through John, through what John sees, the very domain of the throne room of God. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how John survived it. Do you? I have no idea. But the grace of God that he was allowed to go up. This is what he saw. This is what he experienced. He said, "I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven." Now, we don't know where heaven is today. We're not sure. Paul talked about being caught up into a third heaven. We know the atmosphere above us where we breathe the oxygen, the clouds and everything up. So far, about 40-some thousand, 50-some, 60,000 feet, that is the first heaven. That's the atmosphere around the earth. The second heaven stretches from there clear out through the universe. Wherever that, how far that is, they don't count that in years. They count it in light years. Light can travel at 186,000 feet per second. And so, a light year is how far light can travel at 186,000 feet per second in 1 year's time. And it takes millions of those light years to be able to get across the universe, and we still don't know where the end is. Somebody say, "Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God wonderful? Isn't He marvelous?" Amen? But the third heaven, that's where God is. That's where His dwelling is. That's the planet where God, in His full presence and power, exists and lives. And in this vision, John looked up. He saw a door that opened up into heaven. And when he saw that door, he was invited to come up. Now that's a little bit of a glimpse of what it's going to be like when the rapture takes place. Remember what Paul said to the Thessalonians, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How many is looking forward to that ride? Amen? I'm not getting on a 747 for that one. I'm not even going to get on a rocket from Cape Canaveral for that one. Amen? I'm going to go up from 12011 Bear Drive. I've got my own personal transportation system. Just as soon as the Lord gives that shout, His power, His domain, His glory will just pick us all up from wherever we are. You imagine Nola's going up from Morgansville and brother and sister Early from Waynesboro, and he'll even stop in by Greensburg to pick up the singers out there. And amen. And wherever you live, we're going up together, and we're going to meet at cloud high. Oh, hallelujah. John saw that, and I'm looking forward to being a part of it myself. Amen. You got to be ready. You got to be living right. You have to be doing the Lord's will. But this, what John saw, that open door, we are going to go through it one of these days with him. John heard a command, a commanding voice, the very same voice he heard in the first vision. And it called John to come up here into heaven. I want you to note why. The reason is clearly stated: to see future events, things that must come to must take place. Now that word "must" is a very important word. The events of history are not by chance. Amen. They do not just simply happen. God has ordained in His sovereign rule for everything to be exactly the way it is today. There's no wonder that everybody was surprised at the last election. We think the voters had it all in place. God's had it in place since He began the world. He's writing the script. He's going to have who He wants in Russia, who He wants in Iran, who He wants in Iraq, who He wants in Egypt, who He wants in the United States. He's got it all squared away, friends. Don't worry about a thing. God's got it under control. Somebody say praise the Lord. He is sovereign God. And He has it all worked out. History is in His hands. And under His ultimate rule. You see the book? The book already has it planned out. You go back to the end of the book and read about the events that are going to happen in the end of this age. And I'm telling you what, He's going to bring it about according to His desire and His plan. John was immediately in the Spirit. Now, there have been some times I've been praying that I felt like I was in the Spirit. Have you ever prayed until the Holy Ghost came on you? And man, you just said, somebody thought, Brother Kenny told me here the other Sunday, he said, sometimes he feels like jumping up and running. Amen. All right, do you feel the Spirit of God and the power of God? Well, you know, the Spirit came on Samson one time. He grabbed a lion and ripped it in two. How about that? Another time, he grabbed the gates of the city, pulled them on his shoulders, and walked to the top of the hill and set them down. Look out when the Spirit of God comes on you. I had a friend, old Brother Bud Truett. Years ago, old Brother Bud, he'd do most anything, but he was preaching a revival. And in that revival, a lady got saved one night. And she had been living with a fella, and she went home that night after church. She got saved, gave her heart to the Lord, and told the fella that she was living with, "You got to move out." And he got mad. And he put the word out on the street, I'm going to get that preacher. Well, Brother Truett heard about it, and he said, where do they live? And over he went. And they warned Brother Truett, said, now, he rides a bicycle, and he's a mean dude. You better watch him. And so Brother Truett was on the porch, and he was knocking on the door, and nobody came to the door. So he was walking down the walk, and here comes somebody on a bicycle. And they stopped at the end of the walk. Brother Truett's up here on a little bank, and the guy down here on the bicycle. And the man said to him, some people don't watch what they're doing and getting involved in other people's lives. They're liable to get hurt. Brother Truett said, what'd you say? He said, some people are liable to get hurt if they don't mind their own business. Brother Truett said, do you know what? The Holy Ghost came on Samson and he ripped a lion in two. You better watch, the Holy Ghost comes on me. The guy jumped on his bicycle and up the road he went. But I've never heard anybody having the Holy Spirit come on them like John. Immediately he was caught up in the Spirit. He was in an deep, intense spiritual experience with God. Oh, hallelujah. And he was caught up and transported from earth up in through that door to heaven. John saw the most astounding sight imaginable. God sitting on the throne. Oh, wow. Gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Amen. John emphatically declares that he saw God sitting on the throne of God. The first thing named, and that which is at once the central object of the vision and of all that follows it, is a throne. The scriptures continually speak of thrones in connection with sovereignty and majesty of God. They tell us in Psalm 103, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and the kingdom ruleth over all. I want you to know there's another seat of government, and it's not Washington, D.C. It's not Moscow in Russia. Amen? There's another seat of government that is above the one in Beijing. There's one that is higher than any other place in the world. It's the throne of God in the heavens. Oh, hallelujah! And God is sitting on his throne. That's the first thing John sees. He's amazed at what he is seeing. Upon the throne, he sees one sitting. There's no name mentioned, no figure described, but we can be at no loss to distinguish who he means. John was manifestly filled with a mysterious awe, and his words sufficiently intimate that he was looking upon none other than the unnameable, indescribable Godhead, in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, consubstantial and the same, sitting upon the throne of Almighty God. Ah, praise the Lord. It's a good thing he was in the Spirit. Amen. I don't think a man in his own flesh could have stood it. Here he is, standing right before the throne of God, seeing God himself sitting upon the throne. He that was sitting was like in appearance to a jasper and a sardine stone. The appearance of the one on the throne is so glorious, so majestic, that he is indescribable. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I know you guys, the first time you saw the love of your life, said, ooh, baby.
There is not another woman any place in the world. Amen. And Tuesday, you're going to buy that candy. You're going to buy those roses. You're going to get the biggest card in the store. And you're going to take it home to the one that is absolutely gorgeous.
Amen.
One amen. I said it again. Ditto.
Amen.
That's a... There was a woman in on that one. Hallelujah. This Jesus, this God, is indescribable. There's no way that He can describe Him. God is described in terms of light. The dazzling light of the most precious gems and jewels of that day. Oh, hallelujah. The jewels chosen to describe God proclaim a marvelous message to the hearer. The countenance of God shone like a jasper stone. The stone referred to was different from the jasper stone of today. The idea is that the stone was some sort of translucent crystal through which light was shining. It was shining so brightly that it was apparently like the concentrated light of a laser. This represents the penetrating perfection and purity of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. That's who He is. That's the best way that John could describe who Jesus was. By this stone, penetrating perfection and purity. Well, that's what God is. He is perfection. He is purity in every sense of the word. The Sardine stone was a fiery red stone, and it represents the justice of God. Oh, wow. This God that is sitting on the throne is perfect. He is pure. He is holy. He is righteous. And you heard me read, the angels constantly bow before Him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is who He is. But with that perfection and with that purity comes the justice of God. That which says right is right, wrong is wrong. And those who are wrong will hear of the judgment of God. The rainbow that surrounded the throne looked like emerald green. This represents the mercy of God and the new covenant of grace given by God. It is the token of God's covenant with all flesh, never again to destroy the earth or its inhabitants as in the flood. This is God's mercy around this perfect and perfectionist of God and this pure God, this holy God, who is a just God and will bring justice to bear on all mankind. Around that throne radiates the mercy of God. Oh, hallelujah, that those who come and gather in His presence will have heard Him say, I forgive you if you ask Him forgiveness. The one who will cover your sins, wash away your iniquity, and enfold you in His love, and embrace you in His eternal presence. This is the God who sits on the throne. Out of the throne goes forth lightnings and voices and thunders. These demonstrate that the throne is one of judgment and that wrath is about to proceed out of it. Don't get God wrong. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of love. He is a God of purity and perfection. And He is just in everything He does. He never does anyone wrong. But don't get me wrong. From His throne will come judgment upon the earth. And those who laugh in the face of God, those who despise God, those who despise His commandments, those who live wickedly upon the earth will hear those thunderings and see those lightnings and hear the voice of God as He commands wickedness to cease and desist upon the earth. Before the throne are seven torches of fire burning, which are the seven spirits of God. The throne which is set for judgment of the world has before it torches of fire burning, charged with the fullness of consuming vengeance upon the enemies of God. And they are seven, which are perfection. When God brings His judgment upon this earth, it will be just and it will be complete. During the 7 years of tribulation, just to open the door a little further, during the 7 years of tribulation, which could start any week now, during those 7 years of tribulation, one third of the population of the earth will die. 7 billion people in the world, that means nearly 2 billion people will die in that 7 years. During that 7 years, a third of the oceans will turn to blood. During that 7 years of tribulation, one third of the water of the earth will turn to poison. During that 7 years of tribulation, there will be beasts of some sort who will come down from heavens and bite the wicked and torment the wicked of the earth until they will want to die and they can't die. I don't know about you, but I want to be where John's looking. Amen? I want to be where he is when he unleashes that fiery, brutal vengeance upon the wicked of this earth. I want to be safe at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm closing up here now. Some of you were getting a little antsy. Last of all, before the throne, as it were a glassy sea, like unto crystal. Down through the years, I've taken a liking to crystal. And I have used excuses to buy it for Linda. And we have it sitting in our china closet. You pick it up, I mean it's heavy. And it's cut. I don't know how they do it, but it's I can stand there. Wow, look at that. Now, wonderful. I'm going to be right at home when I get to heaven. The whole floor in the throne room is going to be crystal. Woo! Hallelujah. You talk about a time. We're not going to be bothered with the crystal, though. We're not worried about anything else. You heard what I read there a while ago.
the saints of God sitting on the 24 thrones around the throne. That's the church. That's the saints of God. We're going to be bowing down, throwing our crowns at the feet of the Lord, crying out, "Blessed, oh, holy is the Lord our God. Amen. Who hath created all things, and for himself all things were created." This is the domain of Jesus the Christ. That one that was in the manger. That one that was crucified and put on a cross. That one they took and put him in a tomb. Look where he is now. Ooh, hallelujah. How many want to be on the Lord's side? What John saw was real. And one of these days, those who are true to Christ will hear the thundering voice of Christ Himself and will be called up, hallelujah, to enter into that indescribable place where Jesus sits on His throne. Are you ready? Are you ready? If there's anybody in here today and you're not ready to hear that call, you best get on your knees before we leave here. You best get right with God this morning. Don't put it off. Don't say, "One of these days. One of these days." It's now. Today is the day of salvation. And now is the accepted time. Would you stand with me? Jesus Christ is coming. And He's not coming again like a babe in a manger. He's not coming again to be nailed to a cross. He's not coming again to be put in a tomb. He sits in holiness and in righteousness at the throne of God in heaven. And my friends, one of these days, He's going to stand up and He's going to make a proclamation to bring the church home. And if you're not in the church, if you're not part of the church of the body of Christ, if you've not confessed your sins and repented of your sins and made an about face from your wicked life and the wicked ways you live and the evil that you have been involved in the past, if you've not made that change and come to Him in repentance and asking Him to make a new person out of you, you're going to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. I want to make sure that I'm ready to meet Him. I'm ready to see Him should He call today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord God in heaven, unloose the power of the Holy Spirit in this congregation right now. Holy Ghost, go to those that may not be ready. Bring your convicting power to bear on their lives. And help them, Lord, this morning to make a choice. I choose this day to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And to serve Him the balance of my life, that I'll be ready for His coming kingdom of the future. Is there anyone here this morning? You want to slip up your hand and you want to say, "Preacher, I need Jesus. I need His forgiveness. I need Him to wash me with His blood. I need Him to cleanse me." Is there anybody? You want to slip up your hand and say, "Pray for me. Pray for me." All right. Praise the Lord.